Let's spend a moment in prayer and let's hear the word of God. Let's pray. Our great and our gracious God, we thank thee for being able to hear about our Saviour's resurrection this morning. We thank thee that we can hear about our own Christ tarrying in the future tonight. We pray, Lord, thou bless these things to our souls, in particular, Lord, to thy people here this evening. Lord, we do thank thee, Father, for these things. Well, not only what thou hast done for us in the past, what thou art doing for us in the present, but we thank thee for what we have to look forward to also in the future. So open our eyes, Lord, to these things, we pray, and make them very real to us, we ask. We pray these things in and through our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text for tonight is Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 50 to 58. This morning I just read a couple of verses from that longer passage we had this morning. I just want to read a couple of verses from this passage here to introduce what we're going to look at tonight. It contains what we're going to look at tonight. So Paul, see, comes towards the end of this first letter, the end of this 15th chapter. He wrote, "Behold, I Paul, show you, Corinthians, a mystery." When he says here a mystery, he's not referring to something which is hidden and is kept hidden, but something which may have been hidden in the past, but that God has revealed. And he's revealed to us things about the future, and about what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, what's going to happen to those of us who are in Christ when he does return, and also those who are in Christ and die before he comes again. So God has revealed these things. They're a mystery, but a revealed mystery. He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. But the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Notice especially that phrase, "the dead shall be raised." He's thinking of those who die in Christ. Those who are dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. Well, then this morning, this Easter Sunday morning, we were looking at the first 11 verses of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. And we saw that Paul there, in those verses, wrote to his Corinthian brethren, his Corinthian brothers and sisters, about our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ rising again. Christ's resurrection on the third day, as we saw, all according to the Old Testament scriptures, Psalm 16 verse 10 and so on and so forth, prophesied of in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New. And we saw first of all about it having been something declared, delivered or preached to them by him as an indispensable and essential part of the gospel. The other important parts of the gospel is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away the sins of his people, his burial in Joseph and Arimathea's sepulchral tomb. But then this third indispensable part of the gospel is that our Lord rose again from the dead on the third day. So he preached it as an indispensable part of the gospel, verses 1 to 4. And secondly, he wrote to them about it also having been something delivered or preached to them by him as an indisputable fact of history. And we looked at all the witnesses that the apostle brought forth from the apostle Peter himself and the other apostles, and then 500 Christians who saw the risen Lord, James, and then the apostle Paul himself as one born out of due time. They were all witnesses of our Lord's resurrection and showed therefore that it was an indisputable fact of history. And that is how he preached these things to the Corinthians, to the Corinthian brethren, to the Corinthian church. Remember, we saw the reason for that. It wasn't because they had any problem with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, But they did have a problem with their own future resurrection. They wondered how it was going to happen and the manner of it. Well, Paul teaches them it is going to happen because it's happened to Christ. He's risen. And your bodies one day are also going to be raised, and your bodies are going to be like his glorious and glorified body, fitted and suited for glory itself, for heaven. So we concluded by saying that this was something that was so important, so essential, because it was a guarantee. We could also say that it was a type of their rising again, their physically rising again in the future. So we're looking at those things this morning about our Lord's resurrection, his literal and physical resurrection from the dead. Now we've kind of left out a big gap in the middle, but now tonight I want us to look at these closing verses of this chapter, 50 to 58 of this 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, because Paul here in these verses deals not now with our Lord's resurrection, but now he looks ahead. And he looks ahead to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the time when the dead are going to rise in the day of the general resurrection. And he is kind of dealing here with those who are believers who are going to be alive at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also he's dealing with those who are going to die before he comes, and whose spirits are going to go straight to God, whose souls are going to go back to God who gave them and be in heaven. But then their bodies are going to be laid in the grave, in the ground. But what's going to happen to them? Well, they're going to be raised. And this is what Paul is dealing with here. The future resurrection of the physical bodies of believers that have been laid in the ground. He's dealing here with the dead bodies of believers being raised. The resurrection of the dead bodies of believers. You might think to yourself, well, I don't want to really think about this tonight. I don't want to hear about this. I don't really want you to preach on this tonight. But we have to cover these things, because these things are in Scripture. And it shouldn't be something that we should veer away from, but it is something we should really delight to hear about. Delight to hear about our Lord Jesus Christ coming again. Delighting to hear what's going to happen to those who are alive and in Christ in that day, and the way they're going to be immediately transformed and changed and fitted and taken to heaven. But also what's going to happen to those believers who have died before he comes, whose bodies have been planted in the ground, and what's going to happen to their bodies in those days. What Paul has to tell us about them. Well, my dear friends, in that day, in that great day of the Lord, when he returns, will you be raised? And will you take part in the resurrection of the just? Will your dead body be raised in that day? Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And it'll be raised, not like the bodies of the unjust, raised to go to hell, but God will raise your body incorruptible and suited for that inheritance, undefiled, fadeth not away, incorruptible, fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. So this is everything to do with us. This may happen to your body if Christ tarries, if he calls you home, and your body is buried. This is something that's going to happen to something very important to you, something very precious to you. Your soul is precious, but also your body is too, and God is going to redeem that also, even as he's already redeemed you spiritually. But what does the apostle here tell us about the dead in Christ and their bodies being raised? Well, he tells us two things. First of all, about some of the characteristics of this, the character of it, in verses 50 to 53, and then in verses 54 to 58, some of the comfort that arises out of this, some of the comfort that arise out of this for the Corinthians. Some of the comfort that arises out of this also for us today. Yes, my dear friends, there's comfort for us that comes from the thought of our bodies being raised in the future, incorruptible. So first of all, in verses 50 to 53, he deals with some characteristics of the dead bodies of believers being raised in the future. First of all, in verse 53, notice, he writes to the Corinthians about what it was going to amount to, what this was going to consist of, what was going to happen to their bodies in that great day. And he puts it like this, that in that day, they were going to have to put on incorruption. This corruptible was going to have to put on incorruption. And this mortal was going to have to put on immortality. What is it that he meant by that? Well, he means something like this. He says, in that day, this is kind of referring to his, he seems to be referring to his own body, doesn't he? His own flesh and blood. This corruptible, this corruption, and yours too. Your bodies, dear Corinthian believers, if you die before Christ comes and they're laid in the ground, this corruptible, this corruption, this decaying, defiled, physical body, this flesh and blood, it has to, it must, it's going to be gloriously and instantly transformed. It's going to put on, it's going to be clothed with incorruption, an incorruptible, undefiled physical body. And this mortal, this dying physical body, again, that is going to have to, that's going to be gloriously and instantly transformed. It's going to put on or be clothed with immortality, an eternal, immortal, physical body. He says, this is what you've got to look forward to. God has redeemed your souls, but he's going to redeem your bodies. Look at your bodies now. They are corruptible. They're going to die, they're going to decay, and they're defiled, they're tainted by sin. But they're going to be raised incorruptible. They're going to be pure and perfect and powerful. And they're going to, that you're mortal. Your body is mortal, it's going to die. But it's going to put on a body which is immortal, which is undying, which is never going to die, which is going to exist and be forever and forever in heaven. And Paul says, this is going to have to happen to you. Because the bodies that you now have, they're not going to be any good for heaven. They're not suited for it. They're not fit for it. They couldn't stand being there. You need a glorified, glorious body to bear glory and to bear the glory of God. To look upon God without flinching, without looking away, without looking down. Being able to look him in the face, looking Christ in the eye, being with him and being like him forever. So you say, that's what it's going to amount to. That's what it's going to consist of. Because you're going to have an inheritance, Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, you're going to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, it's going to be forever, it's going to be eternal, reserved in heaven for you. And because heaven is going, your inheritance is going to be like that, your body is going to have to be like that in order to experience it. Well, my dear friend, is this something that's going to happen to you as a Christian? It may well be that the Lord may come before we have to die physically. And then we won't have to die physically. We will be suddenly transformed and changed like this. We shall be suddenly glorified spirits in heaven and have glorified bodies. But as I say, if we see out our days, our 70 or 80 or 80 years, and in the end all our sickness comes and death comes to us, yes, even as Christians, well then this is something that will happen to us. Our corruptible will put on incorruption. Our mortal will put on immortality. What a day that will be, my dear friends, when at last we shall leave that body. We shall kind of have a changed body, and our perfected souls will have a perfect body to be in a perfect place forever. What a day that will be, my dear friends. What a day to look forward to and to hope for. So that's what this amounted to or consisted of. Secondly, you may well ask, because Paul deals with it here, who are the ones who are included in this? And he deals with this in verse 51. He says there, basically, that it's going to be every single child of God who dies before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of them will be included in this. We're not dealing here with unbelievers. We're dealing here with believers. We're not dealing with believers who are going to be alive at his coming. We're dealing with believers who have died before his coming. And every single one of them will rise incorruptible. Every single one of them will be raised. Their bodies having been planted, they're going to spring forth, they're going to shoot forth, and they're going to be absolutely splendid and all glorious. Because Paul says here, we shall not all sleep. Of course, he means there, we shall not all die. Some of us will be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again a second time or returns to this earth. Be caught or scooped up by him, meet him in the air, and receive our glorified bodies in the process of that scooping. But, although we shall not all sleep, every single one of us will be changed, one way and another. Those who are alive at his coming, they're going to be changed. Those who have died, they're going to be changed. As he says in a moment, in a moment, and in the twinkling of an eye, all shall be changed. All those who have died in Christ, every single one of them will be raised, and every single one of their bodies will be changed, and will be glorified. They'll receive their glorified new bodies. It's a lovely thing, isn't it? If you've been knocking around an old banger for many, many years, driving around in that, and suddenly you have a new car. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Or if you've had something that's been old for a long time, and then you have something new. Oh, it's so wonderful. Think what this is going to be like. Having gone through the whole of your Christian life, and before that, in these bodies of sin and death, suddenly to have a glorified body that will never tire, will never grow weary, will never sag, you never have to sleep, always be so alive, have so much life. Oh, it's going to be wonderful to wear a body like that, a body that's never going to wear out. Our bodies now wear out, don't they? They are dying. But a body that is never going to die, it's always going to be fresh, always going to be new, always going to be youthful, if you like, always going to be virile, always going to be powerful. To have such bodies as those will be tremendous, will be terrific. So will you be changed? Will you rise? Yes, you will. Dear believer, your body too will rise in this way. And you will share in this glorious resurrection of the just. And you will have such a body in the future, which, as the hymn says, you will wear for a. You will wear for ever. God prepared a body for our Lord Jesus Christ, for his life and his death, and he still wears it now. But he is preparing you, he's going to give you this glorified body one day, and you're going to be so thankful for it. It's going to help you to bear his presence, it's going to help you to worship him forever, and to kind of bear the kind of joy that you're going to have in heaven. And the blessedness and the bliss you're going to have. You couldn't bear it now. It's like Christians sometimes, they're so blessed by God and by his Holy Spirit. Sometimes in their lives they sometimes say to God, hold your hand, Lord. We can't bear it anymore. The blessing is too great. It's going to crush me. It is going to kill me. But there's going to be such a blessing in heaven. And we're not going to have to say that. Because we're going to have bodies that are going to be strong enough to bear that blessing and to bear that glory. Well, 30 verse 52, he tells them how this is going to take place. It's going to take place so quickly. God sometimes does things over a long period of time. Certain things he does very quickly indeed. And he can do the most remarkable things very quickly because he is an almighty and all-powerful and omnipotent God. And this is something that he's going to do in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, he says. It means here the word for in a moment is the word that we get our word atom from. Greek word that he uses, we get the word atom or atomic. Something very, very small. And so he's saying, this is going to take place. The transformation, the resurrection of the dead bodies of believers, and they're being changed. It's going to happen in a very short period, a tiny period of time, a particle of time. And it's going to happen in the twinkling or in the blinking of an eye. The time that it takes you to blink your eye is the time it's going to take the Lord to raise the dead and to change these vile bodies and to make them like unto our Lord's glorious body. Will you rise in a moment in the twinkling of an eye? Yes, you will. What an experience that will be. And then to have these bodies reunited so suddenly with our glorified spirits, and to be forever taken up, to be forever with our Lord Jesus Christ, is going to happen very quickly. God, as I say, sometimes does things very suddenly indeed. So very suddenly indeed. The whole of this age seems to be going by so slowly, doesn't it, from the time of our Lord's ascension to the time of his second coming. Don't be fooled, my dear friends. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. He's not slack concerning his promise. And when the time comes for him to return, for Christ to return, he will suddenly come. He will suddenly change his people who are alive in that day. He will suddenly raise the dead body of his people. He will suddenly change them. And he will suddenly take us to heaven. He will suddenly change this old earth and this old heaven and make a new heaven and new earth for his people to dwell in throughout all eternity. He's a God who can do things very quickly indeed when he wishes to, when he wants to, when it is his will. Fourthly and finally here, when's this going to happen? Well, Paul says it's going to happen at the last trump, referring to a trumpet. Trumpets in the Old Testament marked festive occasions, feast days, and the calling of people to them. And this is going to be the greatest festive occasion of all, the greatest feast of all, when our Lord returns and takes us home to heaven. And so therefore it's going to happen at the last trump. That last festive trumpet of God that's going to sound when he returns to take us, his people or his saints, home to heaven. As he wrote in his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4 and verse 16, he himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And all are going to hear it, but all are not going to take part in this. Only those who have repented of their sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, believed in his deity, in his sonship, the Son of God, believed in his perfect life for them, perfect life that he led for them, and believed that he died for their sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. It is these who are going to enjoy us, hear these things, and take part in them, and be the blessed of God. So it's going to be with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So you'll hear that last trumpet sound, and you'll hear the voice of the archangel. But will you, will all those who have gone before, will your body rise in that day at the last trumpet, the last trumpet? Will you take part in the eternal festivities of heaven? That supper of the Lamb, which is going to go on and on. That wedding is going to be like a wonderful royal wedding coming up, isn't it, at the end of this week, between William and Kate. But think of what it's going to be like to take part in this wedding, to be with our bridegroom forever and forever, be his bride, to be his glorious bride, be with him for always, never separated from him or from his people. So those are some of the characteristics of the dead being raised. And I hope they're things that we all believe in and know are going to happen. Some of these things we ourselves are going to participate in. Before we close tonight in verses 54 to 58, what's some of the comfort that we can derive from this, that Paul derived from this himself, and also the Corinthians could derive from this too? Comfort out of the dead being raised from the future, what comfort can we derive from this? Can we get from this? That flows from this. What confidence does it give to us? It does bring comfort. Again, in that verse I just quoted to you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, Paul says there, wherefore, for this reason, because of the Lord's return, because of his transforming those who are alive, because he's raising those who have died their dead bodies and reunited them with their glorified spirits, out of all this, comfort one another with these words. And the Thessalonians needed comforting over those who had died, who had already died. They wondered what was going to happen to them in the future if they were going to share glory with them where they were. So Paul says, comfort one another with those words of his. And the dead being raised, your body being raised in the future, should comfort you. Why is that? Why should it comfort the Corinthians? Well, first of all, in verses 55 to 57, he mentions here about the comfort that it gave them, or it should give them regarding the future, their future. What was going to happen to them in the future if Jesus didn't come? And if they're going to see out their days in Corinth, perhaps their lives were soon going to be over. It was a dangerous thing to be Christians in those days. Perhaps their lives would be taken, or perhaps no national health service, no hospitals, sickness would come, and they were going to die. And this would give them comfort regarding their future death, because it would take the sting out of their future death. It also gives them future comfort, a comfort concerning their future burial, because it would take the victory out of the grave. Why is that? Because they might die physically, but they were going to live again. Their body might be laid in the ground, it was going to be sown, but God was going to raise it. And it's as though here, Paul is kind of putting himself into the position of those whose bodies have been raised, and they're looking back. They're looking back at death. They're looking back at the grave. And he says, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory over these things. He's going to give us the victory over death, because we're going to live again. He's going to give us the victory over the grave, because our body's going to rise again incorruptible. Thanks be unto God, who gives us, his people, the victory, both now and in that day. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to do this at his coming. You ever viewed it like that? That's what Paul's saying. Saying to these people here, comforted concerning their death, they're going to live again. Their burial, there's going to be no victory for the grave, as far as they're going to be concerned, because God is going to raise them incorruptible. It should bring you comfort, my dear friend, concerning the future. I hope, it might be a nice thing to think, that we're going to be still alive when he comes. And we won't have to go through a final illness, perhaps a racking, painful illness, then dying. But it may well be that we do. Or that we might just die a natural death because we live such a long time. But whatever happens, my dear friends, if we do die, and if we are buried, and if people pray over our graveside, and our body is put in a coffin and laid in the ground, or if it's cremated, probably Christians ought to be buried more than cremated because of the resurrection, because of the hope of that. Whatever happens to us, death, God has taken the sting out of death, the victory out of the grave, because he's going to raise you in this way. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. It's actually a lovely thing, a great privilege and an honour to be a pastor, minister sometime, and to minister in the funeral services of believers, and then go to the graveside. If it's an unbeliever, you think their bodies are going to rise, the resurrection of the unjust, go to hell. Great privilege at the graveside to be able to pray with confidence that body one day is going to rise up, and it's going to be a glorified body, not as it's sown, changed in a moment at the twinkling of an eye. What a day that's going to be, the day of the general resurrection from the dead. I used to like to think about that when I was pastoring the church in Devizes and putting the dead bodies of saints to rest at the graveyard there in that town. Think of all those that I'd known and ministered to, known very well and loved. One day they're going to be raised. Esther and William and all these others, all of their bodies are going to, we're going to recognize one another, be together forever in heaven. So these things would comfort them concerning their future death and burial, but also it comfort them regarding their present work. It should make them, the thought of this and the hope of this and the thought of what's going to happen after this, i.e. the judgment and giving account of the things that they've done in the body, whether good or bad, should make them in the present firmly faithful in their work. Make them steadfast and unmovable, immovable, steadfast in their faith, unmovable, immovable in their faith, not cared about with the latest fads of their culture, and therefore constantly yearning to adjust and modify Christianity to fit the times, but remaining steadfast and immovable in the faith, believing the same things, and being faithful in following Christ, and being a witness to those things that they've believed, or preaching these things, being faithful in them. So it should have made them firmly faithful in the present, comfort them regarding their present work, made them firmly faithful. And also the thought of these things should make them abundantly fruitful. He closes the chapter in verse 58 by saying, he says there, therefore my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul says, be abundantly fruitful, always abound, be excessive, superfluously rich and healthy in the work of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, in works of faith and love. Because why? Because it's not useless. It's not pointless. You say, well, why should I do these works of faith and love as a Christian? Why should I help that person? Why should I serve the Lord? Why should I serve God? Why should I serve God's church? Why should I do these things? What's the point? That's what the world says. But the church doesn't say that. The Christian doesn't say that. It's not meaningless. It's not pointless. Why? Because you're going to rise. Because the day of judgment is going to come. You're going to give an account. And there are going to be rewards. There are going to be degrees of glory, my dear friend, whatever that means. Some are going to receive a greater degree of glory than others. And so therefore, this should be, the rising from the dead should be an impetus and a motivation to labour for the Lord. Knowing your labour is not in vain. It's not meaningless. It's not empty. It's not going to go unnoticed and unrewarded. He's going to reward it in that day after you rise again after his return. So these things should be a comfort to you for the future, and they should be a comfort and an incentive and a motivation for you right in the here and now. Rewards are going to be given out. How big is your reward going to be? Well, look, my dear friend, always be abounding in the work of the Lord for that reason. Because that day is coming when he's going to reward you even for giving, as he says in the Gospels. Just a small thing, giving a cup of cold water to somebody in need, that's going to be rewarded. So think about all the other things you've done and the generosity that is of his reward, and how great it's going to be, how magnificent it's going to be. So there we are, my dear friends, that final passage in 1 Corinthians 15, the dead being raised, dead bodies of believers being raised in the future, the character of some of the characteristics of it, and also the comfort that it should bring to our hearts and to our souls. This has these characteristics, and one day we will see them for ourselves. And it has in it these comforts. So take these comforts tonight, and Keep them with you. Be comforted by them tonight and also this week and in the future and in death. Be comforted by these things. What's going to happen to you? What he's going to do even for your body in the future. He's not going to let it remain in the grave. Just like he didn't leave his son's body in the grave. Wasn't going to be corrupted at all. He was going to raise it. And be the first fruits of them that slept. Your body is going to decay perhaps, but he's going to raise it incorruptible in a quite supernatural and miraculous manner. Oh, let us praise him for this and thank him that we're not going to take part in the resurrection of the unjust, but we're going to take part in the resurrection of the just. Praise God if we are amongst that number through grace.